Good morning and happy Sabbath. It's nice to be in Tullahoma this morning. Little silence never hurt anybody, did it? Have you ever closed your eyes and imagined what the moment will be like when you meet Christ? I've thought about it. I've imagined it. I don't think it's going to match up to anything that I could ever imagine on this earth. You know, the Lord has done so much for us. And one of the things I think that the Lord has shared with us in his word that, as was said this morning, that we can bank on, is that he's going to be ready for us when this is all over. That he has a place for us. And you know, one of the things that gets compared to the place that he has prepared for us is the promised land, the one that the Israelites were given here on earth. And so I chose to spend just a few moments this morning looking at this subject. I hope that you're blessed by this. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you have done so much for us. You have provided for us. You have cared for us. You've given us your word, the surety of your word. Lord, we thank you for these things. Help us to remember you in all that we do. We ask for a blessing this morning as we talk about the promised land. In your name, amen. So in our scripture reading this morning, Moses, and throughout actually the book of Deuteronomy, he speaks to the new generation of Israelites that are destined to possess the promised land. God has already told Moses that he's not going to be allowed to cross over into the promised land, and despite Moses' personal disappointment, he is careful to review the commandments, the statutes and the judgments that God has given to the Israelites. In these farewell messages, Moses emphasizes the importance of obedience to God, the imperative to recount God's blessings to us. He recalls the failings of the Israelites as a people, the consequences of those failings, and God's mercy to the nation. Moses cares deeply for the children of Israel, and he takes this last opportunity to provide guidance, instruction, and admonition to the people as his time with them comes to an end. He reminds them that it is because of God's leading that they have arrived at the promised land, and it is only by his leading that Israel will enter the promised land. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, Moses admonishes the children of Israel. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and then when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, constantly in the minds of the Israelites. Moses understands the Israelites, not as well as God, but Moses has been with the Israelites long enough to know that despite their miraculous deliverance from Egypt, all the blessings and the provisions that have been made for them, all the difficult lessons they had to learn, he knows just as they struggled at the time these things were happening to see God's leading in their lives, they will also struggle to see God's leading moving forward. The counsel given to Israel is a counsel that applies to us today. The Israelites were admonished not to forget how God brought them out of slavery, just as he has bought us. To remember how he led them as he leads us. His provision in giving daily bread. His protection from disease and the evil forces around them. Moses is afraid that Israel will forget, and so he admonishes them repeatedly, don't forget. But how easy it is to forget. How easy it is to forget the good times when things get tough. How easy it is to take God's leading for granted when times are good. You know, while Winston Churchill is credited with the saying, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it, it appears that Moses beat him to the punch, and not by just a few years. Moses, again, tells the children of Israel, do not forget. Ellen White gives God's church today counsel that is similar to that given by Moses. In Life Sketches, page 196, Sister White tells us, we have nothing to fear for the future except we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and is teaching in our past history. If we will remember how God has led us, if we will remember his teaching, we will have no fear for the future. This isn't a head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge. No one would be so bold as to suggest that it's just enough to remember. No one would have the audacity to claim that we don't have to do anything with this knowledge, would they? You know, I'm not bold enough on the day of my anniversary with my wife to walk in and look at her and say, I remember today is our anniversary, and then turn around and walk away. You have to do something with that knowledge. And I wouldn't advise that you would try that either. Remembering is important, but structuring behavior around that knowledge is so much more important. Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 says, we are to teach these words to our children. How? Diligently. What does this mean, diligently? Webster's 1828 dictionary defines diligently like this: with steady application and care, with industry or assiduity, which is attentiveness to persons, not carelessly, not negligently. Then it quotes Deuteronomy 6:17, ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. To teach diligently is to teach in a way that shows care and conscientiousness. Not everyone learns the same way. Some read by learning. Some learn by hearing. Some learn by the example of others. We must be diligent in our instruction. Are we as parents and members of the church teaching the important truths of God's word to our children diligently? You know, I know teachers in our schools and our Sabbath school programs are putting forth great effort to see our children learn biblical truths, but there is no substitution for parental instruction. The parental command found in Proverbs 22:6 is one that must be taken to heart. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so Moses, like a father, is providing instruction to the people, hoping that they, in like manner, will instruct their children and their children's children. The responsibility of biblical leadership in the home and the church is an awesome and fearful responsibility. I heard something said a few years ago. I wouldn't say it's a popular quote, but it is one that stuck with me. No one is fit to lead who will not follow. In order to lead, we must be willing to be led. We must be willing to follow. Applying this to our spiritual life, can we lead others to Christ if we ourselves are not being led by Christ? Can we be effective witnesses, leading others to Christ if we are not following Christ, if we are not being led? The answer is obvious. No one is fit to lead who will not follow. Now, if we will be led, we will do fine. But if we will not be led, if we decide to pick and choose those doctrines or biblical principles that we will keep and cast others aside, the people we witness to, our children, our friends, our neighbors, will easily see that we practice a religion of convenience. Our witness will be destroyed. Let's be clear. God is more than capable of leading if we, his people, will simply follow. The history of Israel through the wilderness makes this painfully obvious. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 11, Moses tells the Israelites, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day." According to Moses, God's commandments, statutes, and judgments, along with his blessings and miraculous care, are not only to be indelibly etched in our memory so that we shall not forget them when things are good, but we are to teach them to our children. The old saying, bad times make strong men. Strong men make good times. Good times make weak men, is true. It is during the good times that we are most likely to fall. And so Moses warns that thou not forget the Lord thy God when things are good. It's obvious through the reading of Scripture and the recounting of our history as a church that God has been faithful to us, that he has been leading us, sometimes in spite of ourselves. Just as we see his leading in the church, we should also be able to recount God's leading in our lives personally. Have you ever sat down to recount how God has led in your life? This is an important exercise. I look back at decisions that I made that God had to be leading in. Relationships I had with friends and business associates. Relationships that were near disasters. Stops that we made along the road as a family when traveling, and after getting back on the highway, we would come right upon an accident that just occurred. We don't know how God is leading sometimes, but he is leading, and God is leading us each individually. Just as Scripture and the Spirit of prophecy had been committed to writing to help us to remember, we would do well to put our own testimony in writing. Our own story of how God has led us and walked with us. A gentle reminder to ourselves so that when we begin to slip off the rails, we can read it and recount how God has been with us. And we should be ready to share that testimony. Have you shared your testimony? Your testimony may be a source of great strength and inspiration to others. The stories preserved in Scripture are there to inspire us and give us confidence in God's leading and His love for us. But make no mistakes, when challenges come, and come they will, our understanding of how God has been leading in our lives will be an inspiration to us. From the book Maranatha, page 253, in the great closing work, we shall meet with perplexities that we know not how to deal with. But let us not forget that the three great powers of heaven are working, that a divine hand is on the wheel, and that God will bring His purposes to pass. The time will come when we shall be brought before councils and before thousands for His name's sake, and each one will have to give a reason for his faith. Every position of truth taken by our people will bear the criticism of the greatest minds. The highest of the world's great men will be brought in contact with truth, and therefore, every position we take should be carefully examined and tested by scriptures. Now we seem to be unnoticed, but this will not always be. Movements at work that will bring us to the forefront, and if our theories of truth can be picked to pieces by historians or the greatest men, it will be done. The Lord Jesus will give the disciples a tongue and wisdom that their adversaries can neither gainsay nor resist. Those who could not by reasoning overcome satanic delusions will bear an affirmative testimony that will baffle learned men. Words will come from the lips of the unlearned with such convincing power and wisdom that conversions will be made to the truth. Thousands will be converted under their testimony. Who's Sister White talking about here? Us. If we believe this is the last generation, she has to be talking about us. Are we prepared? In this modern age, with all the technology, all the gadgets, all the toys, all the fancy trinkets we have to play with, it's a simple testimony that will touch the heart. Your testimony. You know, looking back, there have been times when I felt my life kind of resembles that of the Israelites. A fair amount of upheaval. Things happen seemingly sometimes without rhyme or reason. But God has been there all along. He's been in your life as well. Share your testimony. And I'm sure you've heard it before, but it bears repeating. People can argue with your politics, and they do. People will disagree with your theology, and they do. But they can't argue with your testimony, because that's what's happened to you. They can't argue with how God has led in your life. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We, like the Israelites, must go through the wilderness as we prepare to enter the promised land. Be thankful for the trials God has allowed you to experience. They are preparing you for the kingdom. In every trial, we must not be thinking, why me? Why does God allow this to happen to me? I heard someone say once, I won't share who it was, I know the Lord loves me, but I don't think He likes me very much. No, we must ask ourselves, what is God trying to teach me? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. As we face the future, we will be repeatedly facing perplexing problems. If we focus on our problems, it will be easy to grow discouraged. So let's not do that. Let's not question where we are now and how we got here. Maybe I shouldn't have done that, or maybe the church got it wrong. Let's not look back and wonder what happened and what went wrong. But let's look back, not fearfully, to see if we should have taken another path or to make sure the foundation is securely laid. No, but to gain strength and renewed confidence through the clear assurance of the testimony of the past experience that God has truly led us. As Israel was about to enter the land of Canaan, Moses, now 120 years old, gathers the people about him, knowing that he is to go no further. He admonishes the traveling host with words of assurance. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. The Apostle Paul, likewise, in an endeavor to maintain confidence, appeals, called to remembrance the former days. And to modern Israel, 19 centuries after the death of Christ, just about to cross the Jordan into the promised land, the heavenly Canaan, the words resound, calling us to remember we have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teachings in our past history. God is allowing situations and circumstances to occur around us that are building our character, that are fitting us for the kingdom. Sure, we can see where we are at this moment, but we don't always recognize that at times God has to drag us over the same ground again and again to refine our character. We must fortify our minds with the truth. We must acknowledge God's leading and accept his will for us. Let's not focus on the negative. People love to focus on the negative. My wife will tell you I have an acute talent for remembering all the bad things that have happened in my life. It's not a spiritual gift, trust me. But I can remember things that happened when I was 3 years old. It is horrible. It is horrible. And those are hard things to put out of your mind, but we have to put those things out of our minds. A brother or sister at church offends you. Put it out of your mind. Pray for them. Pray intensely for them. You don't like something the General Conference is doing, pray. Pray without ceasing. It doesn't take a lot of talent to find something that's wrong or to tear something down. You know, we like to talk about who we don't like and why we don't like them. Who said what about whom? I'm going to get my grammar right there, whom. The food, the accommodations, the weather. You know, the first group of Israelites focused on the negative. They had that talent. You remember them. All of them died in the wilderness. They didn't make it into the promised land. We would do well to remember that. They complained from the moment they left Egypt till they got to the borders of the promised land. They didn't like the food God gave them. They didn't like the leadership he provided. And when they surveyed the promised land, they feared the people there and wanted to go back to Egypt. Brothers and sisters, we, like the children of Israel, are on the borders of the promised land. There can be no turning back. The time for complaining, the time for finger pointing, the time of self-reliance is past. It is time to trust God completely. It's time to rally together and rejoice in God's leading. It's time to press together. If this is your prayer this morning, I invite you to kneel with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you have done so much for us. You have provided for us, cared for us. And despite mistakes that we make, the problems that we create, you still love us. You are an awesome God. You are someone worth following. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, for those things that so many times we don't even recognize you're doing for us, for your leading in our lives. Lord, continue to be with us. Continue to guide us. And Lord, do what's best for us. In spite of what we feel we need, we ask that you give us what we need and help us to be willing to accept your leading and your direction. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. I ask that you bless this church, that you would guide it, that not one would be lost. In your name we pray. Amen.